Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
One of the keys to the Indian second half has been the better play of one Jose Ramirez. And joining us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a guy who has written a fascinating piece about what might be behind that. He's Mike Petriello from MLB.com StatCast. Mike, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely, guys. How are you?
Good. We're doing well. Thank God Jose Ramirez is too. He's been a different Jose Ramirez. And, Mike, I said for the longest time, people would say, well, he's in a slump. And I said, well, slumps don't last, you know, 6 months over two seasons. Something's wrong. Something's right now. What's right now that was wrong before?
Yeah, there's a really interesting article written at Fangraphs by Craig Edwards about this, where it seems like what was happening was that the shift broke him, but not in the way you might think. You know, usually you think about a guy who, I know he's a switch hitter, but when he's on the left-hand side, gets his potential ground balls for singles eaten up by the shift. And that doesn't seem to be what the issue was. It was actually the opposite. It looks like he was trying to beat the shift. He was trying to go to the opposite field. And by doing that, he was basically changing his swing to ruin his power swing. And that's really what the shift does more than anything. People think it's about losing singles, and it's that a little bit. But it's just really about trying to get a very good hitter to do something that changes him into a much worse hitter. And for a lot of these guys, we can kind of look at the numbers. We can sort of guess about it. But in this case, we have a little more proof because Ramirez's agent actually tweeted about it. He said, and this is back in June, he's like, he told me that last year he tries to go opposite field to beat the shift, and we spoke about not trying to beat the shift and just let it rip. And that's perfect. That's exactly what you should be doing. The best way to beat the shift is to crush baseballs as hard as you can, not to hit weakly hit balls the other way. And it seems like that's really worked for him.
Does it work? I mean, in general, I watch that shift, and I keep looking every time, and I say to every batter that goes up there, it just seems so simple when you're a fan and you're sitting in the stands. You're like, just bunt it. Bunt it down the third baseline. Do whatever you can. Statistically, does it work, and is it an important play for a manager?
Yeah, I mean, with the people who say just bunt it, I've never actually tried to stand up there against 96 miles an hour with movement. You know, you could bunt it in the batting cages. It's a little bit different when you're up there against a major league pitcher. It works in terms of lowering outcomes on balls in play. Like, it definitely takes away some singles from hitters. And you see that a lot. There's a guy in short right field, lefty hits the ball there, and it turns into an out. It's probably not as much of a difference as you think it is. Like, really what it does is it screws with guys. You know, we saw this earlier in the year. Before he got hurt, Joey Gallo was off to a monster season. He was probably right up there with Mike Trout in the MVP race. Not anymore because he got injured. And he was asked about it. He's like, what did you do differently? And he was like, you know, I just started trying to hit the ball as hard as I could to my pull field. I didn't worry about the shift anymore. And I think part of that is because, yeah, the shift will probably hurt your batting average, but batting average doesn't really matter. And more guys just don't care about that. They care about getting on base. They care about slugging. So while the shift is still a smart play, I mean, you know, the data shows you where the ball is likely to go. Put guys there to get it. Like, absolutely. There are strategies around it, and it's not as easy as bunting the ball to the opposite field, because if you did that, the other team would not stop shifting you. They'd probably start shifting you more, because if you could turn a power hitter into a bunt hitter, you'd be really excited about that.
Mike, the shift must work because teams just seem to be doing it more and more and more often. Do you think it's something that, without question, is here to stay in Major League Baseball?
I sure hope so. And I don't say that as someone who loves watching the shift necessarily, but I can't think of a single good reason to ban it. You know, it's smart baseball. It's interesting, and I know people sometimes they say, oh, I don't like watching, a ball get eaten up by the shift. But, you know, is a ground ball single that much more exciting? I don't know that it really is. And to those people who say, I want to ban the shift and bring the game back the way it used to be, you know, think about what would really happen. With the shift, you're sort of incentivizing guys who can go to all fields and can't be shifted on. Like Jose Altuve is a wonderful example. He never gets shifted because he can go to all fields. If you ban the shift, now what you're doing is incentivizing more of these one-dimensional lefty sluggers who can only go to that one side of the field. I'm not sure that's actually the kind of game people who don't like the shift want to bring back.
Hey, what's your take on Brad Hand right now? Because he had 6 days off. They threw him again yesterday. It was shaky ground. Indians fans are starting to bite their nails when he comes into the game. Is it just a slump? What do you think he's going through right now, and should it be a concern for the Indians?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think it's a couple things. The first thing that comes to mind is that the way his season started set expectations at such a level that he was never going to be able to keep it up. You know, I'm looking at the numbers now. Through the last week of June, he had an ERA of 105, right? And he's really good, but that was never going to maintain for the rest of the season. So some of this is expected. I also just think it's been kind of a bad stretch against some very good offenses. Like, you look at his last three games where he's given up, you know, five runs in the last three games. Minnesota, Boston, and New York. Those are all very good. I understand those are the teams you're going to have to face in the postseason, so it's not acceptable to, you know, get hit by them, but it's not like he was going through the weak sisters of baseball. His numbers this year are still better than they were last year, so I'm not that worried about this little blip. The one thing that's interesting to me is that his ground ball rate has completely fallen apart. You look at him over the last couple of years, dating back to when he was with the Marlins, and he would have a ground ball rate, you know, 46, 45%. This year, his ground ball rate is 23%, and he's making up for that with more strikeouts, which is great. But just the way the game is going right now, you know, with all the home runs, with everybody trying to lift the ball, if he is going to allow all these balls in the air, that actually is a concern. And I'm not sure what has caused such a massive drop, like it's literally cut in half. But that, above all other things, that's what would concern me about hand.
Mike Petriello joining us from MLB.com StatCast. Mike, you mentioned home runs. They're up all around Major League Baseball. And, you know, you see the number of guys who have 20-plus home runs now. You know, that used to be a decent number. 30 used to be a really good number. And now it's just, you know, it looks like you're playing slow-pitch softball at times. Is that something that MLB is okay with, do you think? Or do you see some kind of an adjustment there? I know there's talk about the ball has less drag this year. Where do you think that stands in the minds of the deep thinkers with Major League Baseball?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's probably like the number one issue across baseball right now. I can't speak for what's going on in the commissioner's office. I have no idea what they may or may not do. What I found this year is that it's the style of play is sort of in the eye of the beholder. Like, I think a lot of people echoed exactly what you just said, which I think I agree with. Like, there is too much of a good thing, right? You know, too many strikeouts, too many home runs. We maybe should try to figure out a way to fix that. And then I also keep getting this feeling that inside our baseball, like, media/superfan bubble, that is much more of a concern than it is to the casual fan, because they all seem to like going to the ballpark and seeing home runs. If anything, it's made baseball analysis really difficult. Like, you guys have a great example in Cleveland. Roberto Perez is a home run hitter all of a sudden. I don't really know if that's because he got better or if because he is the right kind of guy for the ball to help. It's really making all that difficult. Going to make some free agency questions very difficult, because now you don't know if a guy actually got better and added power, or if it was just the ball, and then if the ball changes back, does he change back too? It's a very interesting time in baseball, to say the least, and the ball is probably the number one reason for all that.
Hey, Mike, I know we talked about Jose Ramirez, but Jason Kipnis, along those same lines, has had a second-half surge that makes some fans happy around here, especially for the outcome of, you know, of what he's getting paid for being on the field. What has your research told you? What do you see in Kipnis that's been a change in the second half?
Yeah, it's interesting, because he had come off of, I guess, what, the last two seasons, we know, weren't very good. I know he'd had some injury problems. I was almost a little surprised to see them stick with him for this year. I know, you're right, he's been definitely much better in the second half. It's a little hard to know if that's just a blip or actually something that's real. But if you look at the numbers, he's actually striking out a little more, which I find interesting, and he's hitting the ball a little bit harder. I don't know that I would say he's back, but he is. He's hitting fewer grounders, which is nice. He's pulling the ball in the air more, which is nice. I think he's trying to take advantage of what the ball will do for him. And even if he's just a league average hitter, which is maybe all he is, that's still an improvement over the last 2 years. And if you look at the lineup up and down now with the trades they made, they don't have necessarily the black holes that you saw at the beginning of the season. And I think that's a big part, and he is as well a big part of what makes this team dangerous down the stretch.
Mike Petriello joining us from MLB.com. A couple of years ago, Mike, I read a story written by Tom House, the former major league pitcher who's become more of a quarterback guru, actually, than a pitching guru as of late. But he still works with pitchers, and a phenomenal guy when it talks about, you know, how the arm and the way it works and the way you throw. But his story was, and it stuck with me, he said, we will soon see a day where there are no starting pitchers, where there are three pitchers who pitch three innings each, or four pitchers, and teams just roll those guys out. And I thought, well, from an economic standpoint, I get it, because then you're not paying Clayton Kershaw tens and tens of millions of dollars, and might be more economic. Is that feasible? Because with that whole opener concept we're seeing now, I'm wondering, is that the beginning of what Tom House was talking about?
I think to some extent. You are always going to have, you know, the aces. Like, if you talk about the opener, right? Nobody's opening for Max Scherzer. You know, nobody's opening for Clayton Kershaw. I think you are always going to have those guys who are the most valuable. I think the difference is more at the back end of the rotation. Like, you don't need your five starters to make 32 starts, 220 innings anymore. Ideally, you want, you know, two or three of those. And then, you know, your back end guys, for the most part, and maybe a team like Cleveland is different because they do have so many good starting pitchers and everybody's healthy. But for the most part, you know, the guys who are your number five starter aren't that good. So if you can do something like the opener to put them in a better position to succeed, you know, you get past the best hitters at the top of the lineup. And then if they get through the time of the lineup, that comes up with the bottom of the lineup instead of the top. I think that makes sense. I do think we are getting more towards a future where it's not so much starters and relievers as it is just pitchers. But I don't think we're ever going to get to a point where it's 100% guys who throw a couple innings. I do think you're always going to have those elite guys at the top of the rotation, and they might even become more valuable if we have fewer of them. You know, so the game's in an interesting place, but I cannot imagine a time where we don't have a Max Scherzer, a Blake Snell, a Corey Kluber, guys like that.
Mike, thank you very much. Some fascinating information. You want to read that great story, just Google in Mike Petriello. It's Petriello, along with Jose Ramirez, and you'll see why Jose might be off to what he was a year and a half ago. Mike, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Mike from MLB.com, and he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.